Thank you for joining Diana for a brief excerpt of What in the World's Going On Here, Part 1. This sample is taken from Disc 4 from the section The Rise of Rome. Here now is Diana with Octavian versus Mark Antony.
Now, Julius Caesar obviously hadn't planned to die so soon. He'd been grooming his grandnephew, Octavian, to someday, after much experience and maturity, replace him. So he named Octavian as his heir in the will. Now, Octavian was an 18-year-old off studying in Greece at this point when he heard the news that his adopted father, Julius Caesar, had been assassinated. He figured that whoever took over at this point would be unlikely to let him, the official heir to Caesar, live very long. So he set off for Rome to try to take supreme power. This 18-year-old boy. Can you imagine? Now, on the other hand, back in Rome is Mark Antony. He was the one who stirred up the Romans against Caesar's assassins in his funeral speech for Caesar. Do you remember that famous speech from Shakespeare? Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Now, by this speech, he got everybody worked up. It was like a mob reaction. And he forced Brutus and Cassius, the lead assassins, to flee Rome. He was probably the most powerful general who'd served under Caesar. He's right there in Rome. He has Caesar's money and papers in safekeeping, quote, end quote. He was appointing people to key positions. He was governing in Rome, making all kinds of decisions. It seemed like he was in the right place at the right time to simply take over everything. And right about then, in walks Octavian. Now, basically, to make this fairly simple, Mark Antony, Octavian, and another general, Lepidus, set up a second triumvirate to run Rome. Everybody knows that Octavian is the legal heir to Caesar, so Antony can't really take him out right now. They add this third general in, and they killed off all the opposition. They ended up fighting Brutus and Cassius in Greece. Antony was victorious in that. Once Antony had won over in Greece, he called all the Eastern leaders, people from all the Eastern countries who had supported Brutus and Cassius, to make sure they would be loyal to Rome and loyal to him. One of those Eastern leaders who came was Cleopatra. You got it. Here she is again, folks. And she's not any better for Mark Antony than she was for Caesar. Mark Antony basically lost his head over her. And eventually we'll see he really did sort of lose his head. He hung around for a while, but then he had to hot-foot it out of there when a rebellion broke out in Italy. He had to go take care of it. But when he got back to Italy, the rebellion was over. Octavian took that opportunity to have Antony marry his sister, Octavia. So you have the picture now. We have the second triumvirate. We have these three men, and it's just like the first triumvirate when Julius Caesar had married one of his female relatives to Pompey. Same thing. Octavian married one of his female relatives, his sister, to Mark Antony. Now, Antony went back to the east. When he got back east, he sent Octavia to Rome, and he began to openly hang out with Cleopatra. This was not wise by any stretch of the imagination. Octavian told the folks in Rome that Antony had fallen to Cleopatra's wiles and that she was planning to make Egypt the center of the empire. Now, all of Rome honored Octavia, the wife of Mark Antony. Man, she was the virtuous wife of Antony, and they said, this is really terrible that this has happened to her. We didn't ever like Cleopatra, and now we really don't like Mark Antony. So Octavian, with the blessing of Rome, declared war on Cleopatra, and Mark Antony said, I'm on her side. In 31 BC, at the Battle of Actium, a sea battle, Cleopatra saw that she was outgunned by Octavian's ships. He had more ships than she did, so she takes off for home. Mark Antony, in her ship, of course, Mark Antony sees her fleeing and yells, honey, wait for me, and took off after her in his ship. We call that desertion. His soldiers and sailors said, forget it. You leave, we're done. We are not playing this game without you. So Octavian carries the day. He wins. And he followed them over to Egypt. They both committed suicide. Now, it really is true. The wages of sin is death. This is a very good picture of that. A little side note. Octavia, his wife, his former wife, must have really been virtuous because she raised as her own the two children of Mark Antony and Cleopatra. How about that? Octavian comes back to Rome, the schoolboy turned hero. He got rid of that nasty Cleopatra and he took out that Mark Antony after all. And they were overjoyed to welcome him as Caesar, heir to Julius Caesar. It was legally his name. And the Senate voted him the name Augustus, which means revered or even superhuman. And he became known in history as Caesar Augustus. Now, Luke 2:1 says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The fourth and final kingdom of Daniel's vision has come to the forefront in this huge and powerful empire of Rome. And now the time for Messiah to appear has come.